Whispers of the Dead by Lynn Anderson. Read by Sally Armstrong. Unable to sleep, she rose from the bed and went to the window. It's snowing, she thought, surprised. And it has been for a while. Funny how a veil of white made everything seem beautiful, even from here. She shivered a little and thought of climbing back into the warm bed, soon to be for the last time. It was at that moment the figure of a girl, dressed in a kilt and blue velvet jacket, arrived to tramp across the snow in front of the main gate. As though sensing someone watching, the girl stopped and turned to look over at her. Marnie stood transfixed, then shut her eyes, her heart hammering. She's not real. It's a waking nightmare. When I look again, she won't be there. And she was right. When Marnie forced her eyes open, the figure had gone, or more likely, it had never been there in the first place. Except there were footprints in the snow to prove otherwise. Marnie dropped to her knees. What if it was a sign that her daughter Tizzy was alive and waiting for her outside these prison walls? Chapter 1. He sensed the dark, rather than saw it, his eyes barely able to open a crack. As for his mouth, it too had been stitched together with tight thread, which dug into the puffed-up lips. That only left his ears, which were still resounding with the high screeching noise fed into them via the headphones, now, thank God, no longer in place. He thought the room was empty, but as the ringing in his ears abated, he imagined he caught the whisper of laboured breathing. Then again, it might be his own. The sudden blast of cold air against his naked body, that he was certain of. A window had been opened, or a door to the outside. He thought he felt the soft touch of wet snow on his lips, and welcomed it hungrily. The crash of glass when it came told him two things for sure. His hearing had returned, and there was definitely someone in the room with him. As the rush of cold air became stronger, it caught at his blood-matted hair, and snowflakes swirled against his battered face. Then he was moving, the chair he sat upon screeching across the floor, pushed solidly from behind. Instinct told him to try to stop it, and he forced his feet hard to the floor, but the pressure on the chair's movement could not be stopped. He knew now where it was going, because he felt the approaching emptiness before him. He would have screamed if he had been able to open his mouth, but it would have done him little good. As he met the open air, his feet snagged on a jagged ridge of broken glass, and he felt the warm escape of blood. Then he was tipping forward. There was a brief moment while he pivoted there on the cusp between life and death, before gravity came into play, and he dropped like a stone into the swirling snow. Chapter 2. The snow was getting thicker now. Ali raised his face and opened his mouth, relishing the touch of the snowflakes on his tongue. Dreep, standing beside him, finally abandoned his attempts to ping stones off the supermarket trolley parked in the middle of the boating pond.
Fuck it, I can't see it anymore.
You didn't hit it when you could, Ali told him with a grin. Dreep was shivering, his narrow shoulders quaking now that he'd stopped throwing stones.
I vote we get inside, Ali suggested.
Unless you want to head for home.
No way,
Dreep told him, jumping up and down in an attempt to keep warm. Ali turned towards Kevin, who was putting the finishing touches to a slogan on the side of the nearby pavilion.
You coming, Kev?
Not waiting for an answer, he and Dreep made for the high railings that surrounded the old farmhouse at the edge of the park. Glasgow City Council had done their best to keep them out of the derelict listed building, bricking up the doors and sealing the windows with metal sheets, but they hadn't made it foolproof to Dreep, who, climbing up, over and through all obstacles